Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jones!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Who'd be a prophet in this business? I've said that a few times actually on this podcast, I think, and looking at the way this game has unfolded, it's ebbed and flowed, it's the beauty of Test cricket. But the upshot of it all is that England could win. And actually, to me, Simon, they should win. 61 required, 5 wickets in hand, Joe Root not out on 77. Obviously, the nervousness will be that there isn't much of a tail. And I go back to what we said in the preview. That could be a worry for England going forwards and even tomorrow. But if this pair can see England close, Folkes and Root, then you feel that England have stolen one, perhaps. What do you think?
Well, it's tantalisingly poised, isn't it? It's been a beguiling, fascinating, almost frustrating game at times. I mean, England have been in great positions on about three occasions in the match. And yesterday it looked all over, didn't it, after New Zealand had that lead at the close of play of 227 with 6 wickets in hand. But, you know, another remarkable day's Test cricket. Test cricket is often more exciting when there's a bit in the pitch for the bowlers, and this Test match has been no different. I'm not going to predict who's going to win the game, because I think it's a mug's game, isn't it, trying to predict what's going to happen from here after the Test match we've seen. But, I mean, clearly England do have a chance, don't they? I mean, and you're right, Root, absolutely magnificent. What an innings that was. High class innings, 77 not out. And as long as he's there, England have got every chance of winning the game.
Mm. I mean, I think, you know, we were saying, you know, perhaps before the Test and even during the Test, that the innings of Rohit Sharma for India last year at Lords on a difficult first morning was exemplary and a masterclass in how to bat at Lords. And I think the same applies to especially Root and also to a lesser extent Stokes, that, you know, Test cricket, Test batting is hard. It requires huge amounts of skill and discipline. And I just hope that the talents that are the players like Zach Crawley and Ollie Pope really study the application, the discipline, the understanding, I suppose, of what it takes to play an innings, to get to 77 not out, Root. He's been in, I don't know how long, 4 hours or something. You know, the dedication.
131 balls, 259 minutes.
Yeah, so that's over 4 hours. It you know, the dedication required to create an innings like that in those circumstances, and against, you know, those bowlers. You know, Kyle Jameson, he looks to me, and I watch him bowl from side on, and, you know, he actually reminds me a little bit of someone that, you know, some of our older listeners will remember. Garth LaRue played for Sussex and South Africa. Huge, like an incredible Hulk running into bowl. Garth LaRue was actually quicker than Kyle Jameson, but not as accurate and not as skillful. Kyle Jameson swings the ball both ways with control, and he keeps going. And in fact, even gave up his IPL contract to focus on Test cricket and his fitness and his ability to bowl long spells. You know, and he comes on first change after Trent Bolt and Tim Southee. You know, these guys are highly skilled bowlers, and to nullify them and manage to score runs off them just requires incredibly high amounts of skill and discipline, which Root and, to a lesser extent, Stokes illustrated.
Root is 23 away from 100, 23 away from 10,000 runs in Test cricket, but I'd suggest England need more than 23 from him tomorrow to win the game. I mean, it might not transpire like that. You know, they might find a hero elsewhere, folks, or even Potts, who was bounced out in the first innings. But it was just such a calm, assured innings from Joe Root. And what a frantic morning it was, Yoz. I know you watched it closely.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about this last night, didn't you? And I was a bit sceptical. You said, well, you know, the new ball's available, different conditions tomorrow. England might skittle New Zealand. And they had a bit of a hand from a man who had a dreadful day, didn't he? Colin de Grandhomme, who was run out for naught first ball. Takes a bit of doing that, doesn't it? Being run out for naught first ball. And then, of course, he bowled Stokes off a no ball, which is really costly. We thought that was game over. That would have been 76 for five. Stokes was walking off. He was halfway back, and then we realised it was a no ball. And then not long afterwards, de Grandhomme went off injured. And that was crucial, I think, because, you know, well, though Southee and Bolt and Jameson stuck at it, they did tire and they had to do a lot of the burden. They had to bowl 59 of the 65 overs. Well, they didn't have to, but that was how Williams had elected to do it. And you can understand why he did. And so there was, I think they were quite glad to get off at the end, New Zealand, with England still, you know, some way from victory, and New Zealand still with a chance of victory, because they can come back rejuvenated, refreshed tomorrow morning. Question is, will they get a second new ball? That they might do, but it might be, you know, a very few runs to win when that happens. Only 15 more overs until the new ball. England needs 61 to win, so they score at four and over. We won't see a new ball, but if, you know, if they manage to restrict it and squeeze it, then they might get a new ball to, you know, bowl at the tail, you know, possibly, you know, England with England 7-8 down, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a good point you make about the new ball, because the recognition and the experience of Stokes and Root cannot be underestimated, where they saw that sort of between 35 and 55 overs, that's when the conditions are easier. Mm. But you've got to be positive, because if you're not, and when I say positive, it doesn't mean reckless. It just means looking to score. And Root is particularly good at that. I think Stokes sometimes goes from one extreme to the other. But Root is very good at just kind of looking to work ones and twos and pulling the ball off short of a length to deep square leg for a one, keeping the shot down. It's a very high percentage shot, you know, it's a calculated risk, and it's important because that nudges England closer to the target and means that when they do, the New Zealanders do, if they can, claim the second new ball, there weren't many runs required to win. Yeah, I mean, de Grandhomme, I feel a bit sorry for him really, because you can sometimes, you know, you get hit on the pad and first ball and you don't know where it's gone, and actually, brilliant.
Big LBW shout as well.
A big LBW shout. You've got Broad staring you down. You're looking at the umpire. And suddenly, from behind you, Ollie Pope, recognising the opportunism, throws down the stumps. And by the way, England, I think, have hit the stumps quite a lot Test match relative to normal. And there was a shot to nothing, which rewarded them with a wicket. And then, of course, Broad burst through Jameson's defences the next ball. So that was three wickets in three balls, which really changed the game as much as Mitchell and Blundell changed the game with a very studious partnership on the second day. Broad changed the game with three wickets in three balls, or two wickets and a run out in three balls on the third day.
It was dramatic cricket. Apparently, there are some shots on social media of actually people asleep, three people asleep while that was happening, after the three wickets and three balls. I mean, goodness knows how they managed that. They must have been partying long into the previous night. Anyway, that's a by the by. But yeah, it was a dramatic moment in what's been a... You know, it's been quite... It's a strange test match in a way. It's felt at times as if there's been a bit of low-grade cricket, some low-grade batting and good positions frittered away. But what it's doing is building up to a really exciting climax. And you know, there's not going to be a huge amount of cricket at Lord's tomorrow. But if you have got a ticket for the fourth day, you want to be there on time. I mean, let's hope the weather plays ball. I mean, there might be some weather around in the morning, apparently. But there's going to be enough dry weather for you know, either side to force a result. Yeah. There may be some bad light around. I mean, maybe we have to start tomorrow with the lights on and overcast conditions, which will favour New Zealand. And England will have to start again in the morning, but they've got the experience of Root and they've got Ben Folkes there. How well did England bowl in the morning with that new ball? And how poorly or otherwise did New Zealand bat? I mean, it strikes me there was some good bowling. I mean, that ball that Anderson bowled to Blundell to get him out on 96 was an excellent delivery, just nipped back down the slope.
Yeah, magnificent ball. And it was, you felt for Tom Blundell, didn't you? But in a way, it just worked against him, the whole situation. He lost the strike early on. Darryl Mitchell got his 100, deservedly. And then he got a good ball from Broad. Nick behind. That was a classic Broad dismissal from the nursery end. Very good at exploiting the second new ball or the first new ball with that bit of movement that the slope can aid and just get the edge. And then it sort of opened the door. And then Blundell didn't really have the strike for a while. And there was that 3 wickets in 3 balls. And suddenly Anderson just recognising the opportunity there. And I think, perhaps a little bit of credit to Brendan McCullum as well for managing to get that message across. Don't bowl for economy, bowl for wickets. Bowl for wickets. And that ball from Anderson and the ball from Broad to Mitchell as well, just that little bit fuller of a length, encouraging, almost sort of forcing a shot and just finding that enough movement. Often you find, interestingly, that outswing bowlers nip the ball back. If you study an outswing bowler's action in really, really slow motion, they almost let go of it like an off break. And an in-swing bowler lets go of it a bit like a leg break. And so typically, an outswing bowler will tend to nip the ball back to the right-handers because it's a bit like an off break. And an in-swing bowler will tend to bowl leg cutters because that's their natural action. So it's a rather nice double act, really. Broad tending to bowl in-swingers that nip away and Anderson tending to bowl out-swingers that occasionally nip back. That's another little kind of ingredient to why their partnership has worked so well. 1,800-plus wickets amongst the four opening bowlers in this game, meaning playing against a new ball in this match, whether it's the first one or the second one, is a mugs game.
Yeah, tough, isn't it? On a pitch that is offering a bit as well, and there's some swing at Lord's. Just little moments in the days. But I thought, to number 10, Patel, I thought he played a really poor shot. He had a huge wipe at Potts, and he missed it, and it flicked his pad, and he was given out LBW. I thought he could have played for Southie, because he was being quite gritty. It was just a wicket that was frittered away. And then another thing I thought was interesting as well is that England brought on Parkinson. My mind went back to the Shami Bumrah partnership against India, India produced last summer at Lord's, which changed the dynamic of the game on the last day when they were thrashing and scything and inside edging and occasionally hitting some magnificent shots. But England sort of chose to do it a bit differently. And they brought on Parkinson, who didn't have a great day yesterday. And you were commenting on the fact, he needs to bowl quicker and or change his action, all sorts of things. But actually a good moment for him, because he was prepared to just toss it up to Southie and tempt him. And, a good wicket to get. I mean, Southie, if Southie can bat for half an hour, he's very dangerous, and he could have added another 20 or 30 the way he plays. They nipped him in the bud for 21. It was Parkinson that got him, and a nice lift for him actually to contribute and take a wicket. And I wonder how he's going to sleep tonight, because he might be contemplating the fact he could come out at 9 down tomorrow with 3 to win or something like that. But at least he's made a significant contribution to the game, because that was actually quite an important wicket to get rid of Tim Southie.
Yeah, and I was listening to Mark Taylor on commentary on Sky today a bit, and he was quite complimentary about Stokes' use of Parkinson, because obviously, it's interesting listening to Taylor use as spinners because, of course, he played with Shane Warne for so long. And today was the anniversary of the ball of the century. We tried one in our street party today, which is on social media. It's not a particularly good example. It wasn't me bowling, by the way, or batting, right. Thank God. But we had a go in our street party, a few little moments to try and in tribute to Warne's amazing ball to Mike Gatting in 1993. It was good to see, as Mark Taylor said, Stokes used Parkinson quite intelligently on the second day and gave him quite a decent spell. It wasn't just the one over before tea, it was a few overs, and he used him at different ends. And then having the imagination to bring him on today with the last pair together, you know, that could have gone horribly wrong. Southie could have clobbered him for a couple of big sixes and he could have bowled a full toss and a long op and things. But actually, to his credit, he held his opportunity there and got that last wicket. So well done to Stokes and to England and to Parkinson, of course. And, well, wouldn't it be a brilliant kind of end chapter climax to the game if he comes in with three to win?
Yeah. So New Zealand all out for 285, England 277 to win. We'll talk about what might happen on the final day. Well, the fourth day, but it will be the final day in just a moment. But let's have a look at England's batting, Yoz. You talked about Crawley and Pope earlier, didn't you? And the idea of studying root. I mean, I thought they both got quite good balls today, really good balls, actually. I mean, Crawley, he could have been out earlier in the over in which he was dismissed. And we would have said, oh, no, same again. Because he drove a wide ball from Jameson, wide full ball, and missed it rather than nicked it, which is what he did early in the first innings. And he got away with that. And I think, you know, it was... you could say, oh, he could have left the ball on length, the one he nicked. But it was a good ball from James. It's sort of in the channel and that extra height, and it hit the outside edge of the bat, didn't it? He was trying to play defensively, and it went to slip, and Southie took a good catch. And then Pope, those of you who haven't seen it or haven't caught up with it, bolt bowling from round the wicket, and Pope saw it angling in, and he went to sort of clip it through mid-wicket. And it just went away a fraction, and it took out his off stump. It was a dramatic dismissal. I mean, I thought that was a really good ball. And people say, oh, well, he's playing across a straight ball. But surely it's coming in with the angle from Bolt round the wicket. I mean, how did you see that dismissal? Did you see it in the same way I did? Or?
Yeah. No, I've been going back to Crawley. Unbelievably good ball. Couldn't have done anything about it. I studied that ball. I watched it a few times. And to see if he pushed hard at it, to see if he could have left it. No, he couldn't have left it. It went down the slope at the nursery end. He had to play. It was by virtue of Jameson's pace and height that he enabled that ball to just move enough and bounce for the edge to carry to third slip. It was also a good catch, actually, wide of third slip by Tim Southie. You know, a shorter bowler or a tall bowler with less pace wouldn't have been able to make that edge carry. So the combination of the delivery was too much for even a Crawley. And I think it has been proved that Jameson gets more bounce than virtually any bowler who's played the game. One who it's comparable to, interestingly, Chris Tremlett, since data has been available. And obviously that means someone like Joel Garner might be ruled out of this evaluation or analysis. But since data has been available for height of delivery and so on, and accuracy, accuracy of the result, if you like, the outcome, Chris Tremlett is one of the only bowlers who could get the same amount of bounce as Jameson from that sort of length. So I don't think Crawley should blame himself, but what he should blame himself for is getting out in the first innings. And you've just got to be more resolute and disciplined and have better judgment about how to play when the running is in your favour. And that was just a loose waft in the first innings. He should have known, he should have just put away until he's past 70 or 80 and the potential danger is gone. Today couldn't have done anything about it. Pope, I thought he was trying to work that ball a bit too square, if I'm honest. That's being hypercritical. A top order player bowling round the wicket, and knowing that someone like Trent Bolt likes to try and vary the angle and tries to make the odd one go up the slope as well, he maybe should have been trying to hit that a bit straighter. But yeah, I think it was a ball from round the wicket, which angled in towards the right-hander and then just held its own, maybe moved a touch away and made his attempted stroke look pretty bad. But it was a pretty good ball. Were you all right?
Yeah, I thought they got two good balls. I actually thought Alex Lee's got a good ball as well from Jameson. I know it looks terrible when you leave it and the ball crashes into your stumps. But, you know, I've seen the Hawkeye pitch map and the balls before from Jameson all landed in roughly the same spot and went straight on. And this one really nipped, didn't it? It nipped a long way. So you could sort of understand why Lee's was leaving it. It looks bad. But, you know, on the other hand, it was a pretty good delivery.
Look, these guys are fantastic bowlers. Yeah. Armed with a new ball, they are allowed to bowl good deliveries. Jameson, at the moment, is taking his test wickets at 18. Mm. You know, he's got 60-odd wickets at 18. He is a fantastic bowler. He's got everything, really. And similarly, Trent Bolt and Tim Southee, you know, they've got, 600-odd test wickets between them. Yeah. So, you know, these guys are fantastic with a Duke's ball in early summer conditions, you know, when the ball is new and hard. And they are going to bowl good balls. You've got to make sure you capitalise when you get in against them and the ball is older. And that's what England are not doing.
Yeah. Johnny Best, so a big drive at one that just nipped back a fraction from Jameson. Out for 16. Ben Stokes, shortish ball.
You know, Bairstow was playing like he was still at the IPL.
Yeah.
And, you know, that happens when you, you know, a diet of T20 cricket for 2.5 months, it's very hard to shift your mindset. Very hard until you've played a few championship or test innings.
Peter Moores was interesting about this.
A forgivable mistake, really.
Peter Moores was interesting about this, wasn't he, in the Virtual Cricket Club a couple of weeks ago? He was saying it's much easier to go from red ball to white ball, where you've sort of got your basics right from red ball
undoubtedly
cricket into white ball cricket, you know, from championship into T20, he was saying, you know, he's not bothered by that, but it's much harder to go the other way. And, you know, perhaps that has been the case for Bairstow, who's had a couple of failures, playing big shots, quite big shots in this test match. And then Stokes, you know...
Well, that's how he plays, isn't it?
Yeah. Ben Stokes... one thing I thought he did really well today, and it affected the course of the game, actually, and helped his team, didn't it? Was the fact that he was able to attack Ajaz Patel when he came on. He plonked him into the grandstand for 2 sixes when Patel came on for a second over. And so it sort of forced, in a way, it forced New Zealand to go back to their seamers. And so they basically just bowled the 3 overs with de Grandhomme off the field. Mitchell bowled the 1 ball to make up de Grandhomme's over. And Patel has only bowled 2 balls. It was sort of skittish Ben Stokes, though. He was coming down the pitch and swiping and swatting. And that's how he was out initially, off the no ball, down the pitch and then dragging the ball onto his stumps. I mean, it looked horrible. It would have looked horrible if that had been his dismissal. But he battled through, got up to 50, took on Patel. And then it was an odd one, wasn't it? It was a bit like a sort of T20 ramp shot he tried to play. He just couldn't get out of the way of it. And he feathered it on the glove through to Blundell. And at that point, 159 for 5, you thought advantage back to New Zealand. I mean, it's been a remarkable game of cricket, really. It up and down, one way, then the next. And Stokes played his part today, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I think he's outwitted Williamson as his opposite number. You know, for instance, in the way that he handled the spinner. He hit him for, 20-odd off 2 overs, a couple of big sixes over mid-wicket, and Williamson took him off. I would have kept him going, perhaps with another man out there. And you're going to mishit one eventually. And he could easily have got him out. And I think he's quite a good bowler, actually, Patel. So he could have even tried him at the other end, maybe, where the hitting up the hill is a bit harder. So I think Stokes recognised the opportunity there, and Williamson, who hasn't got a great record of using spinners, Patel got 10 for him, and then he got dropped the next game, didn't he? Which, I mean, may have been circumstance rather than captaincy. But nevertheless, I think Stokes, I just like his attitude, his recognition of opportunities in games, both. We talked about his use of Parkinson. We talked about his batting against Patel, the way he moved around the crease a bit and tried to upset the bowlers. When their ball is a bit older, I wouldn't be doing that when the ball is 10, 15 overs old, but 25, 30, 35 overs. He understood that England needed to get some runs because they don't want to leave too many to make against the second new ball. And now they won't have to.
No, exactly. It's going to be, you know, single figures or in the teens at maximum, you'd think, depending on how England play tomorrow. And the other thing about Patel, of course, as well, is that Williamson might not use Patel because Root is such a good player of spin. And so there's that aspect, you felt you would have worked him, and perhaps more than worked him as well. You'd have taken him for boundaries. So, that you know, we didn't see much of Patel. He went with the seamers. And they did benefit England from the fact that De Grandhomme wasn't out there and they didn't feel they could bowl Patel against Stokes and then Root. So a heavy burden for Southie, Bolton, Jameson, who will presumably have to come back and do it tomorrow. You know, we've got, 15 overs to the new ball, 61 to win. That's about, you'd think, sort of maximum 20 overs, something like that. And they'll probably have to bowl all those overs themselves. So how do we see it in the morning? Yours, I mean, England have got a victory chance, haven't they? New Zealand have got a victory chance. You know, I sort of characterise it sometimes. New Zealand are five balls away from victory. That's what they have to keep saying to themselves. And England are probably, 100 balls from victory, something like that. Anyway, it might be more, it might be less. But one wicket, you know, a wicket of Root, and then it's a very, very different game in the morning. And sometimes as well, you know this from playing, don't you, that the closer you get to a target, strangely, mm-hmm. the harder it becomes for some reason. You think it'd be the opposite, wouldn't you? It's that sort of that victory, sort of tantalising in sight, sort of against the odds. You know, we're trying to win a game from 69 for four. It feels like a long, long way off, no chance. And then you get close and you think, and then for some reason, it just becomes harder. It's impossible
to
say.
I think England should win. Yeah. I think that, you know, all those tail-end batsmen, and obviously two of them are playing in their first test, will be nervous. But they've just got to think in terms of making 5 or 10 runs if England do lose a wicket early on. Each of those batsmen, Potts, etc., have just got to get 5 or 10 each. And that requires a bit of discipline, but they're capable of it. And Broad in particular. But Stuart Broad, it's the time for him, actually. There's no, apart from Jameson, there's no real threat to his livelihood, I don't think. His health, if you like, on this pitch against these bowlers. And he should be able to back himself to get 20 for Broad. So England have enough runs in the bank. They haven't got a good tail, but they've got enough ability in that partnership that's already up and running and the remaining batsmen. They've got enough talent and ability to get 61. So they should do it, and it's theirs to win now.
Okay, well, there we go. Yours. I mean, I think what I would like to see tomorrow is I'd like to see a really tense finish. I'd like to see one wicket or five runs or something like that, you know, really come down to the sort of really tight finish. Not that England knock it off 4 or 5 wickets or New Zealand roll England out for 20 runs in the morning. I'd like to see it go right to the wire. I think that would be a thrilling way to start the summer, but I'm not going to.
Now, do you think that I'm going to actually be at the pageant tomorrow? Because my brother-in-law is running it, so he's managed to get me a ticket in the grandstand. Do you think Her Majesty would mind if I have my phone on watching the match at the same time?
Well, or you could have Test Match Special on, Yoz, but whatever way you want to follow it, I don't think she'd be that bothered, no. You know, we live in a free country. I think you can do whatever you want, can't you? Isn't that the whole point? So, yeah, watch away, listen away. And I'm sure everybody will be following it as well. If you've got a ticket tomorrow at Lord's, you know, got an intense hour or so's cricket, those people following it on radio, television, whatever, you know, it's going to be a really gripping hour, you hope, hour or so, hour, 20 minutes. Can't wait for it. It's been a bizarre test match in a way, and we could have a great, it could still be a tie, of course. We could still have a tie. Anyway, whatever happens tomorrow, we'll be back to have a look back at it in our fourth day podcast. I'm sure everyone listening to this is looking forward to tomorrow as well. We are, and join us again for our wrap up of the test match on Sunday. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.